And now another murder mystery for David Threlfall as Paolo Baldi in Baldi.
Mrs. Reed, would you know where one could go in Dublin for a nice, quiet, elegant dinner next Wednesday?
Why would you want to know that, Father Baldi?
Does it matter why?
Well, it won't matter, say, if you are thinking of taking a young lady out for a nice, quiet, elegant dinner. You are a priest, you know.
Yes, I'm well aware of that. In fact, it's another priest I want to take out for dinner. Father Troy, whom you've met.
Oh, the blessed man, and what a fine priest he is. Why didn't you say it was him in the first place? I'll tell you exactly the place you want to take a splendid man like Father Troy out for dinner. The Dungarvan. A fine traditional hotel. Family run. I know the wife, Dervla Leary, though her poor husband passed on last year. Mm-hmm. Her son Johnny runs the place now, I think. Mm-hmm. No, you won't go wrong at the Dungarvan, Father Baldi. I'll give you a phone number.
Right.
Now, look, you're going to be eating up that fried bread, aren't you?
Welcome to the Dublin Emerald. As you see from my badge, my name is Mona and I'm here to help you. Emerald Inns hope you will enjoy your stay with us and enjoy the authentic taste of Ireland that is so much part of the Emerald Inn's philosophy. Here at
Sorry to interrupt, but we're looking for the Dungarvan Hotel.
This used to be the Dungarvan Hotel, but has recently become part of the Emerald Inn's experience. Here at the Dublin
Emerald... We have a booking for dinner.
The name will be Dr. Baldi.
Oh, yes, you'll be wanting the Crock of Gold restaurant then, Father.
Ah, thank you.
Oh, through there, I see.
That's right. Or why not relax with a drink before dinner in the Leprechaun Snug?
How about that? Would you like to relax with a drink before dinner in the Leprechaun Snug?
On the principle that one should try everything once, I'll say yes, Paolo. Oh, this bit. I've never seen so much green in my entire life.
I'm not meant to be working behind the bar, neither cold-collar night. The deal is, I'm off from 6 till the entertainment starts at 9.
I'm sorry, Sean, but you can see we have a staffing problem. I've tried to contact the other barmen without success, so I'd be very grateful if you... Shh, customers. Good evening. Welcome to the Leprechaun Snug.
Thank you. What's it to be then, Father Troy?
I think a dry sherry would hit the spot.
Yes. So is there anyone staying here?
Sean?
Oh, all right.
Sorry. Teething troubles. We haven't been open that long.
Ah, so I gather.
Good evening. My name's Sean, and I'm glad to welcome you to the Leprechaun Snug. So it's dry sherry then, and
I'll have a dry white wine, thank you.
I'm Shelley Barron, assistant manager of this Emerald Inn.
Pleasure to meet you.
And I do hope you'll enjoy your stay at the Dublin Emerald. Each Wednesday at all the Emeralds, there's a Cuchulainn night with traditional Irish entertainment.
Just sit.
Oh, well, the Crock of Gold restaurant is through there.
All right, thank you.
There you are. Would you like those added to your dinner bill?
Yes, please.
And now, if you'll excuse me. Sean, you don't know where Johnny is, do you?
Haven't seen him.
Because he was meant to have worked out the staff register.
Right, there we are.
Cheers.
Salute. You know, it's strange, Direttore. There's something about this place that reminds me of a monastery.
A monastery? This place is not a monastery, it's a theme park.
No, wait. This hotel is dedicated to an ideal, just as a religious institution might be. You know, the Emerald philosophy, so it has very rigid rules. I mean, take that girl, Mona, at reception. I thought there was something very spiritual about her. She wears a green uniform and she repeats the same formula of words to every guest who arrives. Is that so different from what a monk or a nun does?
I don't ask it into you, Paolo. You're talking absolute rubbish. And I think you're also putting off telling me what this evening is really about. This elaborately conspiratorial meeting.
All right, Direttore.
I swear, that poor man never leaves the bar.
Oh, it's yourself, Mr. Winfield, sir, so it is. And how's your young bride? Ah, the prettiest colleen this side of the McGillicuddy Reeks.
Sean, you smooth-talking devil. How have you been?
Oh, sure, I've been entirely sober all day. except the times I've been through.
You're priceless, John. I didn't know people like you still existed.
I think he's actually paid to be like that.
I think he must be. Another part of the Emerald Inn's philosophy. Hot and cold, lovable Irish characters on the raft.
I'm not the priority, you call.
And you think the Americans are paid to be like that, too?
You want me to serve the sir behind the bar? Is that what you're telling me?
No, Johnny. It's just a joke.
Yeah, right. Who wants a drink here? Who wants some bloody service in that plastic paddy bar?
Johnny!
What the hell are you, Sean? You drunken old has-been. You want another large whiskey to help you forget you don't have a career anymore?
Now listen, if you're looking for a fight...
Or are there other things you want to forget about, perhaps?
Leave it out, Johnny.
And what about our delightful American guests? Looking for an authentic taste of the old home country, are you?
Well, I'm not sure that I am.
While I have your attention, could I ask you something, Mr. Winfield?
Yeah, all right.
How in the hell have you managed to stay married all these years to a woman as ugly as that?
Listen, you tried to talk about my wife. You're asking for trouble. I may look old, but I can still pack a punch and offer
things. You're disgusting. Don't you ever dare come.
I think, Father John, maybe it's time you went through to the Crocodile restaurant.
Yes, I think. Wouldn't you say that's typical of this place? 8 different Irish coffees on the menu, and not an espresso in sight.
I'm sorry, it wasn't quite the gastronomic treat I had in mind.
No. You still haven't told me what all this is about.
True. The fact is, dear Ettore, I am enjoying my current life more than I enjoyed the life I had before. I think I'm more interested in teaching semiotics than I am in the work of the Catholic Church.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that I can envisage a future in which my 1 year sabbatical from the priesthood could easily become 2 years sabbatical.
No. No man can serve two masters.
For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other.
You wouldn't, by any chance, be serving two masters, would you, Paolo?
I mean, what are you on about, dear Ettore?
There's a woman involved, isn't there?
It depends what you call involved. Anyway, it's not an important thing.
Well, no, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Could we get rid of that pipe music, please? That's better. Good evening, one and all. And welcome to the Dublin Emeralds Treat of the Week, our Cuchulain night.
Oh, no.
I'm your host, Sean O'Flaherty. And tonight, although you're here in the Croc of Gold restaurant, I want you to imagine... You're all gathered round the peat fire in the back bar of Mickey McGinty's Grocery and General Store. Tonight, you're going to have a taste of the old Ireland. An Ireland that still exists in the country villages and nooks and crannies of the Emerald Isle.
I think we could do without this, Paolo.
It's a world where people make their own entertainment, as they have done down the centuries.
Waiter.
Telling their jokes, listening to the crack, and playing their own music. And this music we start with. I'm delighted to welcome a singer from right here in Dublin, Siobhan Donnelly. And she's going to start with that delightful Irish tune, The Fields of Athenry.
Thanks, John.
No, I've stomached the Guinness pie with Kilkenham, but I'm afraid this is too much.
No, of course. Waiter.
What's this?
God in heaven, save us. There's been a terrible accident in the kitchen. Please come, Dr. Baldy.
I'm not Dr. Baldy.
But you must be. You're wearing
it. Not enough, Mona. Will you please get back to reception?
But Johnny's out there.
Will you please get back to reception?
Yes. Very well. All right.
I'm so sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to worry about. Sean, over to you again.
Right. Yes. Well... Sorry for that little interruption there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm afraid you'll find in lovely old Ireland, things never run entirely to plan. So, once again, it's Siobhan Donnelly with the Fields of Athenry.
By the lonely prison wall.
Is that true, Miss Barron? Is there really nothing to worry about?
Are you the Dr. Baldy she was asking for?
I am.
Mona should never have come in here asking for a doctor. She should have...
My friend's not a medical doctor like me. He's a priest.
Ah. Well, perhaps one of you better come through to the kitchens then.
I'll go dinner, Tony.
I'm rather afraid we've more need of a priest's services than a doctor's. Goodness,
what that stupid, hysterical girl on reception is doing. She's worked at other Emerald Inn. She knows the form. To burst into the restaurant like that. One of the first rules of the hotel business is that you never let the guests know there's anything wrong.
Who found the body?
The girl herself. The receptionist. Mona.
Would she normally come into the kitchens? Or indeed, here?
No, but as you may have gathered, we've had staffing problems tonight, so everybody's been helping out.
This is terrible, terrible.
I'm afraid he was very drunk.
Do you think that had something to do with it?
It had everything to do with it. You'd have to be very drunk to walk into that cold store and let the door shut behind you, wouldn't you?
Well, surely he wasn't in there long enough to freeze to death.
No. He must have suffocated.
Would it be easy, do you think, even if you were drunk, to let that door close on you?
Not difficult. It's got a spring on it so that it can't be left ajar by mistake. Oh. It's due to have a safety device fitted, but there hasn't been time yet. Look.
I'm not sure you should...
What?
Well, I was just thinking the guardian might not like anything to be touched.
But this is just an accident. This can be dealt with by the Emerald Inn's management. Surely the guardian won't need to be involved.
I'm rather afraid they will, Miss Baron.
Thank you so much for waiting, gentlemen. This is Inspector Mahon from the Guardie.
Good evening. Paola. You know each other?
Yes.
And this is... I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, sir.
Father Troy.
Good evening. I gather Dr. Baldy saw the body in the storeroom. Did you also go through there, Father Troy?
No.
In that case, I don't think we need to detain you any longer.
Thank goodness for that.
But I'm afraid I need to ask you a few questions, Paola. And Miss Byrne, if I could start by checking some details with you.
Of course, I'd be pleased.
Mahon, where are you? We need to get this investigation underway.
If you'll excuse me for a moment.
I'd better have a word with him, too.
So, Paolo.
What?
It's her, isn't it?
What do you mean?
She's the woman who's been unsettling you.
What makes you think that, Direttore?
I flatter myself I know something about you at this stage. I saw the look on your face when she walked in the room. You haven't said anything to her?
I'm in no position to.
You certainly are not. Good.
Why do you say good?
Because at least now I know my enemy. Good night, Barlow.
And we'd be most grateful, Miss Baron, if we could use this room as a base while we talk to your staff.
Well, it is actually my office, and I'd hope
well,
to...
Well, we'd be most grateful, Miss Baron.
Very well.
I think it'd be good to talk to the girl Mona first.
Might I remind you, Inspector Mahon, that I am in charge of this case?
Of course.
And I think the person we need to talk to first is the receptionist who found the body. What was her name?
Mona.
That's the one. Could you ask her to come in here, please, Miss Baron?
Certainly, Superintendent.
We need to get a result on this one, Mahon.
We need to get a result on all of them, don't we?
By a result, I mean an arrest. I don't want to leave this hotel tonight without having charged someone.
But, Superintendent, we don't even know yet that a crime's been committed.
Don't be picky, Mahon.
Dr. Baldy, do you have a moment?
Of course.
Good. It's just, obviously, the death of Johnny Leary is exactly the sort of publicity a newly opened hotel would wish to avoid.
Yes, I understand that.
The Emerald Inn's company has always worked hard to present a respectable and family-friendly image.
Yes.
That's the Emerald style, and it is my job to maintain that tradition.
Your job as manager of the Dublin Emerald?
Yes, I'm only the assistant manager.
Well, now Johnny Leary's dead.
Who knows what'll happen? That's up to head office. All I'm asking, Dr. Baldy, is if you're approached by the press about Johnny Leary's death, please say as little as possible.
Of course. Have you yourself been with the Emerald Inn's long, Miss Baron?
I joined the parent company in 1993, in South Africa. This hotel is part of a worldwide chain, you know.
Bringing authentic Irishness to the far-flung corners of the world.
Exactly. I still can't forgive that girl Mona. Emerald Inn staff should be entirely in control at all times.
As you are?
Yes. That is the Emerald style. That's what all the expensive training should teach them.
Makes the business of becoming a priest sound positively easy by comparison.
I beg your pardon?
So it's not important.
Right, so, Mona, you're saying that you didn't touch the door of the coal store before you opened it and found the body.
That's right, I didn't. And then I saw Johnny lying there and I knew. I crossed myself and I...
Why were you in the kitchen? I thought your job was as a receptionist.
The staff rotors were all over the place, with so many people there in the crock of gold for the cool collar night. We all had to muck in.
Hmm. And you say you found the body about 9 o'clock?
Yes. Most of the tables had been cleared in the restaurant for it to start. Some of the sweets hadn't been touched. I was going to put them back in the coal store.
And in the course of the evening, did you see anyone else go into the coal store or open the door?
No, I didn't.
Mona, you wouldn't object to having your fingerprints taken, would you?
Why?
It's standard procedure.
And if we found your fingerprints on, say, the door handle of the coal store? Well, that might prove something, might it not, eh?
Yes, I suppose it might.
It'll prove you opened the door when you found Johnny Leary's body. It'll prove, in fact, Superintendent, that Mona has been telling us the truth.
Of course it would, man. Of course it would. That's just what I meant.
Hello?
Mrs. Reed, it's Paolo Baldi.
Oh, good evening, Father. And have you had a good dinner at the Dungarvan Hotel?
Well, the evening didn't quite turn out as I expected.
Oh.
The fact is, there's been an accident here and the police have been called. I was ringing to say I'd be back rather late.
What kind of accident?
Well, I'll tell you about it in the morning, Mrs. Reed. I wanted to ask you, though, is, what kind of man is Johnny Leary?
Well, would you like to hear what his mother Durbin thinks of him?
Yes, all right.
That her son's a walking saint, and the sun shines out of every part of his anatomy. Well, the way Durbin goes on about Johnny, you'd think he was the Pope in Rome. Mind you...
Mrs. Reed, Johnny Leary... Has he always lived with his mother?
Oh, no. He spent a long time travelling round the world. You know, learning the hotel trade. Uh-huh. Oh, he went everywhere. Australia, South Africa, London, you name it, he's been there. And then when his father died last year, Johnny came back to take over the Dungarvan.
You did sort of imply, Mrs. Reed, that there might be another view of Johnny Leary, you know, apart from his mother's.
Did I now?
Yes.
Well, only if you believe gossip.
Well, the thing about gossip is that you have to hear it before you know whether you can believe it or not.
True. Indeed, I heard from Peggy down the greengrocer's. Mind you, she's a terrible old gossip.
What did Peggy say?
She said that Johnny and his father didn't get on, and the boy was always a terrible wastrel, and his time abroad has just been a series of bad debts, the family rescuing him, and that he was far too partial to his drink and drugs, and that he'd even been involved in blackmail.
Oh.
Mind you... Mightn't be true at all. And it doesn't do to go repeating things like that about anyone.
No, certainly not. And I'm sure you'd never do that, Mrs. Reed.
Of course I wouldn't. I'm not that kind of woman.
Yeah, but, oh, excuse me, there's someone waving at me. Yes?
Sorry, sir. The officers from the Gardaí would like you to go and have a word.
Yeah, of course. Look, I have to dash, Mrs. Reed. I'll see you in the morning. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Are you all right?
Well, I'm a bit shocked. I'll be fine.
Well, it's no surprise you're shocked. It's an awful thing to find a dead body like that.
Yes. God rest his soul.
Did you know Johnny Leary well?
Not well, but we... It's terrible to think of him dead.
Yeah. Had you met him anywhere other than Dublin, Mona?
Well...
you're still here, Dr. Baldy. Is there anything I can do for you?
No, nothing. I have to go and talk to the guard, so I better go and do that now. Goodbye.
Is everything all right, Mona?
Yes, thank you, Shelley. Everything's fine.
You didn't say anything to that priest about Johnny, did you?
No, I haven't said anything to anyone.
Good. You keep it that way, Mona.
So, Mr. Weiner...
Call me Klaus, please.
Right, Klaus. You're saying that none of your chefs went through to the coal store between 8 and 9 o'clock.
That's right. We were all too busy in here. We had 40 covers tonight, being Cúchulainn night, you see.
But surely some of the stuff has to be got out of the coal store, doesn't it?
Oh, we'll get it out at 6. That's where it has a bit of time to defrost before it goes in the microwaves.
Is all the food deep frozen?
Oh, yes. That's how Emerald Inns ensures that the menu is exactly the same all over the world. Would you believe I trained for 3 years in Switzerland to end up as a microwave chef?
I'm sorry?
Not half as sorry as I am.
So, Klaus, you're absolutely certain none of your kitchen staff went into the coal store during the relevant period?
Positive, Inspector. I was keeping them all busy in here preparing their salads and the sweets.
And Mona, the receptionist, could she have gone through?
I don't think so. But I'm not certain. She was in and out of the kitchen, you know.
Who's that over there?
Oh, that's Neve. She helps with the washing up. Be a bit gentle with her. She's, well, not all there, if you know what I mean.
Right. Can you confirm what Klaus has told me?
Sorry?
I'm Inspector Mahon. Did you hear what I was saying?
Some of it.
So, Niamh, you didn't see any of the kitchen staff going into the scullery?
No, I don't come on duty till 9 o'clock, so I didn't see anything.
Which entrance do you come through?
The back one.
So you walk through the scullery where the coal store is?
I do, but I didn't see anything.
Did you arrive for work sharp at 9 tonight?
Oh, yes.
And Mona didn't find the body till just after 9. The cold store door was closed when you went past it.
It was.
And Mona was here in the kitchen.
I think she was. Everyone was all over the place in here.
I see. Let's have another look at the cold store.
Fine.
Have you finished in here, Sergeant?
Yes, Inspector. The photographer's been and gone, so's the body.
And fingerprints?
All done and dusted. Open it, close it, do what you like with it.
Thanks. Klaus, could you come through?
Of course.
Isn't that a bit risky when you or your staff go in to get something out?
No, we have a system. Jam the door with that fire extinguisher when someone goes in. It's only temporary.
Hmm. Niamh?
Yes, Inspector?
Are you sure this door wasn't propped open with a fire extinguisher when you came in to work?
No, it was closed. I'm sure of that.
And you came in through there?
Yes, that's the staff entrance.
What's that door over there?
Well, I...
Night porter's room. He sleeps in there after midnight. Then if the bell rings, he gets up and lets latecomers in.
Right. Let's have another look in the store. Could you hold it open for me, Sergeant? Don't want history to repeat itself, do we?
No, that's better.
Hmm. All leaky labour, I see. And this doesn't look like something you'd cook, does it, Klaus?
No.
On the other hand, I know exactly what it does look like.
Yes.
All right, Sergeant. Do you recognise this, Klaus?
I do, but it had nothing to do with me, I swear. Nor any of the rest of my kitchen staff.
Oh?
No, that little lot very definitely belonged to Johnny Leary.
Inspector Barton has spoken to the chefs in the kitchen. And our men talked to the rest of the staff. They can all provide alibis for each other, as it were.
So assuming that someone did shut Johnny in the cold store...
And assuming it wasn't an accident.
Then the only people who don't have solid alibis for the relevant time are the receptionist Mona, the assistant manager Shelley Byrne, and the barman Sean O'Flaherty.
We've talked to the two women and we'll talk to Mr. O'Flaherty as soon as his duties in the Cucullin night are over.
Is that really not finished yet?
Oh, no. You certainly get your money's worth of authentic Irishness in the Emerald Inn.
Right. Could we get on, please?
Sorry, of course. The one thing that's been puzzling me is why Johnny Leary should have been anywhere near the cold store anyway.
Oh, we know the answer to that.
Yes. I found Johnny Leary's private stash of cocaine in there.
There's no need to tell him, Mahon.
I'm sorry, Superintendent.
Dr. Baldy, our fingerprint experts have been working down in the kitchens. Now, according to Miss Barron, she opened the door to the cold store in your presence after you'd said a prayer over the body.
A prayer?
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, we'll take her fingerprints to check them with any that are on the handle.
And we'll do the same with Mona.
And with Sean O'Flaherty?
Oh, no need, Dr. Baldy. Fortunately for us, Mr. O'Flaherty's fingerprints are already on file.
What? Is there still not a barman in here?
No. So you've finished the Cucullin night, have you?
Oh, yes, sir. I'll do now for another week.
Mr. O'Flaherty, I'm Dr. Paolo Baldy. I was asked to tell you that the guard want to talk to you.
What?
They're in Miss Barron's office, the superintendent and an inspector.
Oh, no. Do they want to see me straight away?
Well, they've got someone with them at the moment, but they said that you're not to go home till they've spoken to you.
Hell!
You've heard what happened, have you?
Hmm?
Well, you may not know. Johnny Leary's dead.
Oh. Sorry. I've never gone much for that not speaking ill of the dead nonsense. Johnny Leary never did a hand's turn in his life.
No, but I understood he travelled the world studying the hotel business.
The only bit of the hotel business Johnny Leary ever studied was the room service menu.
And did you meet him for the first time when you started working here?
No, we'd met earlier in London, when I was big.
Sorry?
Come on. I'm Sean O'Flaherty. I was a top of the bill comic in the 70s, over in England, but it didn't last. These days I can't give myself away with soap. And do you know why? Political correctness, that's why. You can't do Irish jokes now, even if you're Irish.
Except on Emerald Inn's Cucullin nights.
That's about it, yeah.
Yeah. I find it interesting that you haven't asked me any details about Johnny Leary's death.
No, I haven't, have I?
Why not?
Because the fact that he's dead is the only detail I care about.
Well, madam, the printout from Scotland Yard just arrived.
Is that the details of Sean O'Flaherty's previous conviction?
It most certainly is.
That was quick.
And I'd say that anyone who's being blackmailed about that would have a pretty good motive for murdering the blackmailer. Now, wouldn't you agree, ma'am?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realise there was anyone in here.
I'm sorry. Don't worry about it. I'm not in your way, am I?
I was just collecting the glasses. Sometimes some of the restaurant glasses are left in here, and they're not meant to get mixed up. The restaurant manager gets very cross if they all get mixed up.
Oh, so in spite of what's happened tonight, the business of the hotel just goes on?
Well, there are the guests, aren't there? Shelley Barron says they must always come first.
And you always do what Shelley Barron says?
Of course. Total obedience is part of the Emerald Inn's philosophy.
Mm-hmm. I noticed you're not wearing the green uniform like everyone else.
No, I'm only sort of temporary. I just work in the kitchen, tidying up and washing up, you know.
Yeah. Is that fun?
I get paid for doing it. You can't be fussy. There isn't that much work around.
Is this your first job?
I've done bits and pieces. My dad's unemployed and there are seven of us children.
So what's your name?
Niamh.
Did you know Johnny Leary well, Niamh?
No.
Did you know him before you started working here?
No, I didn't.
How did you get this job? Did you see it advertised?
No, my dad heard it from a friend that they were looking for people, Mr. O'Flaherty.
Oh, the barman?
Yeah, he's a drinking mate of my dad's. This job, my dad set it up. I always do what my dad tells me.
Well, more total obedience.
What?
Sorry, I was just thinking.
And this, as I'm sure you know, Mr. O'Flaherty, is the scene of the crime. I only know because Dr. Baldy told me. And here's the coal store on which Johnny Leary died. Now, someone either forced him to step inside here, or Mr. Leary stepped inside.
I think you ought to let him out.
I was about to. Sorry, Superintendent. I'm sure you didn't mean to get locked in.
Oh, but I did. It was quite deliberate on my part. A bit of hands-on police work. A little demonstration to show how easily Johnny Leary's death could have happened.
It still doesn't demonstrate that I had anything to do with it, though.
Doesn't it? Bring in our guests, will you, Inspector Mahon?
Yes, Superintendent. You know Mr. Winchell, don't you, Mr. O'Flaherty?
Yes. Evening, Sean. I wish I knew what this was all about.
If you could just repeat what you told me, Mr. Winchell.
Okay. Well, we were sitting down to dinner before the Cucullin night began, and my wife wasn't feeling too good. She suffers with your nerves, you know, and we just had the shouting match in the bar. So she asked me to go and fetch the medication she has for her condition.
Go on.
Well, I remembered that I'd left it in the hire car, so I went out to the parking lot and...
Could you just get to the point?
I saw you, Sean, going in the back entrance of the hotel.
What time was that?
Just before 8:30.
Thank you very much.
Look, I don't want to cause trouble for anyone or anything.
Thank you very much, Mr. Winfield. You've been most helpful. We don't need to detain you any longer.
Well, if you're sure that I...
Thank you.
So, Mr. O'Flaherty, do you deny that you came in here at about 8:30 this evening?
No.
Well, do you deny that Johnny Leary was blackmailing you?
Well,
maybe he found out about your criminal record when he was working in London.
I don't have to say anything.
No, you don't. But if Johnny Leary did know that you'd served 2 years in an English jail for having sex with a minor, if he knew that that was the reason your career fell apart, then you'd have a pretty strong motive for killing him, wouldn't you?
Yes, I might have, but the fact remains I didn't do it.
Then why did you come in here half an hour before your Cucullin night started, and around the time that Johnny was also known to have come in here?
I didn't see him.
Do you have any proof of that?
I came through this scullery because I was going to the night porter's room.
Over here.
Hmm?
So why were you going there, Mr. O'Flaherty?
I think that's my own business.
No, I'm very much afraid it's our business, because if you don't have a good explanation for what you were doing here, you very quickly become the prime suspect for the murder of Johnny Leary.
All right. I was with someone.
Right. And that someone will be able to provide you with an alibi for the relevant period?
Yes.
Well, if you want to get yourself off the hook, Mr. O'Flaherty,
I think you'd better tell us who that someone is.
I don't deny it. Johnny and I did have an affair when he was in South Africa. What business it is of yours, I can't imagine.
I'm sorry, it was crude of me to ask. I just thought it might have some relevance to his death.
Did you, Dr. Baldy? The only thing that interests me about his death is how quickly it can be forgotten. Emerald Inns don't need that kind of publicity. And I want to get on with my job of making the Dublin Emerald the best hotel in the chain.
Well, I'd have thought that doing that would be the job of the manager, not the assistant manager.
What are you saying? That the chance of my getting his job gave me a motive to kill Johnny? And the fact that we'd had a previous relationship presumably makes it certain I murdered him?
No, I'm not saying that, but it is a point of view.
An incorrect point of view. Our affair in South Africa lasted 3 months, by which time I'd realised exactly what kind of man Johnny was. A layabout, a freeloader, a bum so lacking in moral principles that he'd even stoop to blackmail.
Did he try to blackmail?
He wouldn't have dared. He knew I had at least as much on him as he had on me. Once I'd mentioned some of the things I could have told his sainted mother about his activities, he ceased to be a threat to me.
So who might he be a threat to?
More vulnerable people. People who couldn't stand up for themselves.
Yeah, like who?
I think you'll have to work that out for yourself, Dr. Baldy.
And you say Mr. O'Flaherty was in the night porter's room when you arrived at 8:30?
He was, yes.
And, Niamh, you didn't see him with Johnny Leary?
No, I didn't see Johnny Leary at all.
What we are interested in is why you were in the night porter's room with him.
Well, we...
I told him we were just talking there, Niamh.
I'd hardly call that talk.
So what were you doing, Niamh?
Well, I was... I don't know what I can say.
No, no need to.
I think you'd better.
Come on, Niamh. What were you doing?
We were... Well, you know... My dad arranged it. I do it for Sean, and he pays me, and then I give the money to my dad.
Are you talking about a sexual act, Niamh?
Yes.
Do you deny this, Mr. O'Flaherty?
I can't, can I? It's true.
But it's only for the money. There's nothing in it.
Isn't there?
At least it's proved my alibi. At the relevant time, I was with Niamh in the night porter's room. No way could I have touched Johnny Leary.
It's proved your alibi, Mr. O'Flaherty, yes. On the other hand...
How old are you, Niamh?
I'm 15. Well, soon to be 15.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Mr. O'Flaherty. Yes, I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up with a verdict of accidental death here. The man was very drunk. He was going after his stash of cocaine in the gold store. I think it's probably just one of those ghastly mistakes.
If you say so.
Off the record, of course. Don't breathe a word of what I've said to anyone until it's been confirmed.
I wouldn't dream of it. Thank you, Superintendent, for being so prompt and efficient.
My pleasure.
If you'll excuse me, I'll just go and tell the day staff they can get off home.
Of course. Goodbye, Miss Brown.
Goodbye, Superintendent. Mona, you can go home.
Don't worry, Sally. I'll stay to the end of my
story. So is that it? Are we just going to leave it there?
As I said, we'll read the forensic reports. If anything suspicious comes out of those, then of course we'll investigate it. But I'd put any money you care to mention on the fact that it was an accident.
What makes you so sure?
Listen, Mahan, I got myself locked up in that coal store by mistake, didn't I?
Yes. Yes, you did.
So if it could happen to someone of my experience, what chance would a fellow like Johnny Leary have, huh?
Right.
So all in all, I'd say it's a very satisfactory evening's work.
But, Superintendent, you said we needed a result. We haven't got a result.
We most certainly have. We've produced an arrest.
But it's an arrest for underage sex and not...
No, you're just being picky again, Mahan. Good night to you.
Mona.
Yes, Inspector?
Are you sure you shouldn't be off home? You've had a terrible shock.
I'm fine. And my shift ends at midnight. That's only 20 minutes now, so I might as well see it out.
Well, all right.
Tina.
Hello, Paolo.
Are you done?
Superintendent Wayne is done, so I guess I am too.
May I walk you to your car, then?
What a gentleman you are, Paolo.
Maybe. After you. So, what's Superintendent Wayne's verdict?
He's moving pretty firmly towards the idea of an accident.
And your verdict?
It quite possibly could have been an accident, but I'd feel better if I thought we'd investigated it properly.
I heard about Sean.
He won't have much fun in prison. They don't like men who are in for underage sex. God, that poor kid. Being set up by our own father.
I'll
thought you were trained not to get too involved with the people you're dealing with.
Yes. But sometimes it's hard to avoid it. When there's a kid like... Oh, I must go home to bed.
Yes, of course.
One thing, Paolo.
Yes?
I was quite surprised when Shelley Baron told me why you'd gone through to the kitchen to see Johnny Leary's body. To say a prayer.
Ah.
You hadn't told me you were a priest, had you?
No, the right moment didn't seem to have come up. Why? It doesn't make any difference to anything, does it?
No. No difference to anything. Night.
Night. Excuse me.
Welcome to the Dublin Emerald. As you see from my badge, my name is Mona and I...
It's me.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't looking. Forgetting my training. Always look the guests in the eye.
You must be very tired.
I'll be fine.
You heard what happened to Sean O'Flaherty?
Yes. I don't know what it makes me feel. Partly that he's a disgusting, dirty old man, but partly... Ugh, I don't know.
I think Johnny Leary must have found out about Sean's previous conviction, you know, over in England.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Because Johnny made a habit of getting dirt on everyone, didn't he? What did he have on you, Mona?
What makes you think he had anything?
The way I've seen you behave this evening. You come from a strong Catholic family, don't you, Mona?
Yes. My mother's very devout. I have a cousin who became a nun. And maybe my mother would have liked that for me. But it wouldn't have worked out.
Because of a boy?
What makes you think that?
Well, it usually is.
I only saw him a couple of times, but I was very naive. And a couple of times was enough. Which is why I had to go to London.
To get an abortion?
Yes.
Yeah, Johnny Leary wasn't the father, was he?
No. Good God, no. I just met him in London. I was working in the Emerald Inn there, and I was in a bad state after the operation. And I was lonely. And there he was. Someone from Dublin. And I confided in him.
But when you started working here, you threatened to tell someone?
To tell my mother. Mm. She couldn't have coped. Mm.
So what happened this evening, Mona, before Johnny died?
He was very drunk.
Yes, I saw him.
He started abusing everyone. And I knew it was only a matter of time before it would be my turn. Particularly if he got onto the cocaine. Anyway... I'd been roped into helping in the kitchen, and I went into the scullery and I saw Johnny propping the storeroom door open with a fire extinguisher, and he started on at me, asking for money, saying he'd tell my mother about the abortion, and I didn't have any money, and I knew he was going to get the cocaine, and I don't know what came over me. When he went into the cold store, I just pulled away the fire extinguisher, and the door closed. Then things got frantic in the kitchen. But after, like, I don't know how long it was, I realized what I'd done. And I went back and opened the door. I never knew it could have happened so quickly.
And that's when you rushed into the restaurant screaming?
Yes.
I should have realized it sooner. That should have told me.
What do you mean?
Well, the fact that you went against your training. Now, you'd been through the full Emerald Inn's course. You knew the required procedure. When there's an accident, you call for a doctor. Discreetly, don't you?
That's right.
But it wasn't a doctor you wanted. You knew Johnny Leary was dead. And what you wanted was spiritual help. You needed a priest. And you'd assumed, when we arrived, that my companion, who was dressed as a priest, was the one called Dr. Bowley.
Yes.
The duty demanded by your faith was stronger and the duty demanded by your Emerald Inn's training, wasn't it, Mona? No man can serve two masters.
No. And now I've let down both of them. Both my masters. My Catholic faith and my professional training.
It's not so bad.
Not so bad. I've killed two people.
Two? You killed Johnny, but...
Not just Johnny. I kill my baby as well. What happens now?
Hmm?
Do you call back the Gardaí?
Well, the Gardaí seemed to believe that Johnny O'Leary's death was accidental.
But you know it wasn't. I've just confessed to you.
Yes. Did you know I was a priest, Mona?
No.
Well, I am. Like Father Troy. Only I don't wear the uniform. Well, the foyer of the Dublin Emerald is not like your traditional confessional, but nonetheless, you've just given your confession to a priest. And a priest, as you know, is under oath not to divulge the secrets of the confessional to anyone.
You mean you won't tell the Gardaí?
I don't think my vows allow me to tell the Gardaí.
Oh. But I'll still burn in hell for what I've done.
Not necessarily. Confession is only the first part of the process. The second part is absolution.
But I can never be absolved from the sins I've committed.
Oh, you'd be amazed what you can be absolved for, Mona.
Are you not enjoying that bit of black pudding, Father Baldy?
I had a late night. I think it's possibly a bit early for black pudding.
Oh, I'm a great believer in giving the digestion a challenge, first thing.
Yes, Mrs. Reed, I've gathered that.
Ah, oh, now who could that be at this time in the morning? Oh. Oh, you finished your black pudding.
Very good it was too, thank you very much.
Well, look who I've got here for you now.
Hello.
Direttore.
I'll leave you two fathers together, then.
I've been thinking a lot about what you said last night, Paolo. Mm-hmm. Have you been thinking about it, too?
Well, I've been preoccupied. My mind's been full of questions about the administration of justice and about punishment and about guilt.
Your own guilt?
Well, as well as other people's. Mm.
I came round because I just wanted to say to your face, Paolo, that you don't have any choice.
Oh?
You can only serve one master. The church is not going to let you go, Paolo. So by all means, indulge your doubts, your fantasies of another lifestyle. But at the end of this year, you must return to do what you were chosen to do.
I'm not so concerned these days about what I was chosen to do. I'm more interested in what I choose to do.
No. It's only your age. A midlife crisis, that's all.
Oh.
People in their late 30s want to change everything. It's the time when married men leave their wives.
So what do priests do?
They survive. They hold their noses, they go under, and they come up the other side. And that's what you're going to do, Paolo. Like it or not.
In The Emerald Style by Simon Brett, the part of Paolo Baldi was played by David Threlfall, and Tina by Tina Kelleher. Father Troy by T.P. McKenna, Superintendent Rin, Owen Rowe, and Mrs. Reed by Margaret Darcy. Mona was played by Kathy Belton, Sean, Frank O'Sullivan, Neve, Eva Berthissel, and Shelley by Bridget Erin Bates. Klaus was played by Richard Croxford. Mr. Winfelt, Nick Harden. Mrs. Winfelt, Ornia McCartney. And Johnny Leary and the Sergeant by Patrick Fitzsimons. Baldi was created by Barry Devlin for Sarah Lawson Productions and developed and produced by BBC Northern Ireland. Baldi was directed in Belfast by Lawrence Jackson.